Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Time for us to get into conversation with Yolanda Rootman, joining us once again for another conversation on depression. Today, focusing on adolescence and adults. Now, we know that adolescence and young adulthood are already challenging periods of life. Can I get an amen to that? But when depression is added to the mix, it can really make things way more difficult. Unfortunately, many young people go undiagnosed, suffering in silence. And so today we're going to talk about depression in adolescence and young adults and how to provide support. Yolanda Rootman joins us once again. Good morning, Yolanda, and I hope you're feeling much better than the last time we spoke.
Good morning, Vongi, and I'm definitely feeling much better.
Thank you so much. Happy to hear that. You sound much better as well. So looking forward to this conversation about depression in adolescents and young adults. What unique challenges do adolescents and young adults face when it comes to depression? We touched on this in one of our earlier conversations, that a lot of times we just think, what could you possibly be depressed about? Your whole life is made. So what are some of those challenges?
Okay, so adolescents and young adults experience unique challenges when it comes to depression due to complex interplay of developmental, social, and biological factors, which we sometimes don't as adults understand, believe it or not, but once we get through that teenage phase, we want to forget that we were ever teenagers. We find it difficult to realize that these things have a big of an interplay. So the developmental changes is a big one, brain development, identity forming, and they still have that increased sensitivity to peer rejection, which makes that time very difficult for them because they kind of still have the belief systems and developmental age of a younger child, but yet are engaging in more adult roles. And then sometimes these two are not matching up always. And then that's also what kind of creates a bit of a uncomfortability. Academic pressure, that's definitely there, especially in young people today. Social media. I have to say on a daily basis how glad I am that I didn't grow up with social media.
Tell me about it.
Because the constant exposure to comparison, body image, what is expected of them, how they need to look, what they need to say, how they need to do, it has a big impact on our young people. The limited vocabulary that they have. So if you grew up in an environment and didn't know how to have the words for I'm feeling this way or this is what I'm experiencing, very often, you know, you just get dismissed as it's a phase or as you said earlier, what can you possibly have to worry about? What do you possibly have to be sad about? Hormonal fluctuations play a big role. And then social and romantic relationships, because it's the first time they're like having those more intense romantic relationships. They want to fit in. They're transitioning into other roles in their social environment. And then lastly, also the lack of access to effective support because those adolescents don't know how to ask for help. And because they may be in an environment with dismissive parents or peers that are just like, oh, you're just going through a phase or you'll get over it. It's fine. And then they kind of don't really talk about their emotions. So those are some of the blocks that our young people face.
And so with those in mind, then how do parents and teachers and guardians recognize depression in young people?
So parents, teachers, and guardians play a crucial role in recognizing depression in young people. However, the signs can be subtle or mistaken for your typical developmental changes. So although depression is a real thing, emotions are a real thing, those developmental things are still there. Moodiness, slamming of doors, they are unfortunately also just very teenage things. So what you should look out for is that persistent sadness and irritability. Loss of interest is a big red flag. Increase in sensitivity, so more emotional outbursts, maybe more crying, criticism on themselves, low motivation, a lot of negative self-talk about the self, about the future, about the environment. You might also see physical changes like change in sleep, appetite changes, difficulty concentrating. And then more age-specific red flags to look out for. Between the ages of 12 and 17, you'll have that irritability and defiance, okay, which is more prevalent in a mm-hmm. sadness, or a sudden change in their peer group and engaging more in risky behaviors, mm. where your specific red flags in your 18 to 24-year-old age group would be withdrawal from independence-building activities and then struggling to transition into adult roles or relying on unhealthy coping mechanisms. Mm, mm. So those are the more specific ones okay. to look out for.
Okay.
Yes.
And then are there carry on.
So what parents and teachers could do would be stay curious and observant.
Right.
So ask about the day, ask what's going on, observe, is there change in motivation? Is there change in those patterns? Engage in open communication, mm-hmm. be a safe space for them to come and talk about the things that they're unhappy with.
Yeah.
Normalize conversations about mental health, normalize conversations about emotions, and then watch out for those patterns. Not just a once-off, because remember, we're still dealing with teenagers, but a continuous reoccurring yeah. pattern that's yeah. forming.
Okay.
So those would be the things to like
keep an
look
eye
out
for. Yeah. And then what about risk factors that we can look out for that make young people maybe more vulnerable to depression?
We talked about risk factors in, I think, Friday or the day before. But they're very similar. So once again, the biological and genetic factors. So if there's a family history of depression or mental illness, that teenager is going to be more at risk.
Mm-hmm.
If there's hormonal changes, which they definitely are in
yes.
teenagers, chronic medical conditions. So if there's diabetes, asthma, chronic pain, that teenager is more vulnerable. Low self-esteem. Okay, or experience of trauma mm-hmm. in childhood or going through something dramatic. Then there's environmental situations. There's family conflict. There's bullying.
Right.
And there's academic pressure or they're mm-hmm. not doing well at school.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good indicators that they might kind of be at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Then loss and grief. Once again, keeping an eye out on that. Social media influences. Minority stress, so experiencing discrimination or feeling marginalized, definitely, and economic hardships. And then the last two would just be major changes in their life. So moving schools, moving cities, like losing that kind of support and social environment. And then relationships, breakups, first romantic relationships, mm-hmm. experiencing that loss or loss of friends. At that age, it's a bigger loss, if I can almost put it that way, than it would be for an adult in their 30s.
Yeah, because we're calloused at this stage.
Yeah, we're like, you're going to hurt me.
Yeah, so how can young people seek help when they feel depressed, but they're afraid to speak out?
It's common for young people to feel afraid to speak out about depression
mm-hmm.
due to the stigma, uncertainty about who to ask or how to ask. But I would say start small. Start in small, safe conversations.
Mm-hmm.
People that you trust, a friend, talk to a trusted person like a teacher, a coach, someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel comfortable talking, write it down. Write an email or a letter to that person,
yeah.
kind of explaining how you feel. You can also access anonymous resources, so helplines, apps. There's a lot of apps. There's a lot of mental health hotlines that you can access. Use your creative expression. Do it through arts and music. And then also educate yourself more about mental health. Learn more about it. Read up more about it. And then reach out to a professional. I think today most schools have counselors or therapists, or even reach out to a psychologist or your GP.
Beautiful. And then you talked about social media. I think that's a big one that we need to definitely talk about. Social media, peer pressure, what role do they play in adolescent depression?
Social media and peer pressure can significantly influence an adolescent depression, both as triggers and amplifiers for emotional distress. So the social media's role is unrealistic comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, social media is not real.
Okay.
It's not real. People choose what to put on there. They choose what they look like that day. They put filters on. It's not real life. So to really think that the 15 seconds you're looking into someone's life is representative of who they are for the rest of that 24 hours in a day is super unrealistic. Mm. Cyberbullying, unfortunately, this is something that adults are so unaware of because we don't have that comprehension of how someone that you don't know that's sitting on the other side of the world can tell you something nasty and bully you. Like, I think with older people or adults that I speak with, they don't have that. Why didn't you just put the computer off? Should it bother you?
Exactly.
But remember, we're dealing with developmental minds. They're still in the development process. And putting that in, it really does stunt growth. It does have a big impact. And it's not just, oh, put the computer off. It might be they're so vulnerable to information and someone saying something like, oh, you are not pretty or you don't, and people are mean. One thing we should really start working on is being nicer to one another on these social media platforms. So people can be really mean and vicious because they don't care. They think I'm just throwing this information to the abyss, but you're really not. It's hitting people and it's hitting hard.
Yeah.
Then fear of missing out. So social media, you know, you're putting on there that you went out with this friend to the movies or you did this activity with someone else. Someone that maybe didn't get that invite sees that and they feel left out. Mm. And immediately it goes back to that introspection of, what did I do wrong? Wasn't I not a good enough friend?
What's wrong?
Why wasn't I invited? Yeah. What's wrong with me? So that plays a big role, the validation-seeking behavior. So acting in ways that they goes against their morals and values, but it gives them the like, it gives them the attention. And in a developing brain, that's important. In a developing person that wants that recognition, that wants that validation, that means more at that moment. And therefore, they go for that. But then obviously hurting themselves because they're not living up to their true selves and their value systems. Mm. And then also exposure to harmful content. There's a lot of very harmful, very negative things out there that people glorify. Being skinny. People say, anyone can do this. Just follow me and my diet plan.
Oh,
not every one of us are made to look that way.
Yeah.
We can't all look that way. We're not. And then they glamorize it so much. And then teens think that, oh, this is what I should aspire to.
Yeah.
And it's really not. It's not.
And the unfortunate thing with that one is as soon as you do manage to do that, the beauty standard has changed again.
Exactly. And then you have to do to the new thing. And
my goodness.
And that leads to the peer pressure of it all, which is then that pressure to fit in and you have to do well and you have to perform and you can't be everything for everyone all the time. It's impossible. So be you, because the world doesn't need a lot of one person. We need one of you that is special and different.
Beautiful, beautiful. No, that social media one is quite a big thing. And I think my generation, I always feel like we are the ones who, we were like the experiment. Because I was about, I think I was about maybe 20, maybe 1920 when we first started doing Facebook and High Five and all of those. So I feel like we were the experiment and we saw the how it messed us up. And at least in my case, really trying to be more mindful of my children. Like, I promise you, my kids, take your time. There's no rush. There's no rush in this thing because, oh my goodness, it started off as just a way to connect with friends and, you know, people around the world. Now it's turned into this whole other thing. And it's like, even at my age, I'm afraid of it.
It is. And I mean, like you said, you only got exposure to it, and me myself, in our 20s. We were more developed. We had more rigid structures. We knew ourselves a bit better.
Yes.
These kids are now seeing TikToks and Instagram reels at like 10, 12.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Beautiful. And I remember one actor talking about his child, some famous actors talking about his child and how his child wanted to go on social media, wanted to start his own account when he was a teenager. And he said to his son, I would like you to just live your life I'm not telling you not to have social media, but just live your life, have your friends and learn new things and develop your hobbies and new skills and things like that. And then as you get older, when you go on social media, you are sharing what you want to share about your life, because the danger of getting onto social media before you've developed who you are and what you like and what you enjoy is that social media starts dictating to you what you should like, what you should look like, what you should wear, and all those kinds of things. And then also you start living for social media. So let me go there so I can post a picture standing in front of that famous monument or in front of that famous place. You're not going there because you wanted to go there. You're going there so that you can share with the world that you were there, which is a whole different thing. And I thought that was very interesting.
It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And be mindful, like you said, these days, have your food and eat it before you post a picture about it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Be in the moment. It's so true. I think if there's one thing that I can tell teenagers to really help them curb depression, it's kind of be in the moment, be the best you can be, and get off of that little screen that's telling you you're not worth anything, because you are worth the world.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yolanda Rootman, thank you so much for your time. We'll chat again on Wednesday.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. Have a lovely day. Bye.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.